Before I jump into the scripture this morning, just a couple more things that I just really feel like the Lord has laid on my heart today. Dave, I just want to say to you, God's going to take you to a new level of influence. You've been coming up against what you would consider to be a wall. Like, this door's closed, this door's closed, this door's closed. How am I going to get through this thing? And I just believe the Lord says he's going to open the right door at the right time, and it's going to take you to a new level of influence that you cannot manufacture on your own. It's going to be something that he's going to do for you, and you only have to continue to be faithful to what he's called you to do today. It's not your effort that's going to make it happen. It's your faithfulness. Amen? That's awesome, isn't it? Man, I love when God does this. Christine, God's going to be shifting your role. And I don't know what that means. But he's beginning to put you into a season of transition in a good way. For things that you've been believing for, things that you've been asking for. And don't despise the season of transition, because it's taking you to a place of promise. Amen. Isn't that awesome? God's good. Can we just give him praise today? Guys, if you come from a background of a faith where this seems odd or it seems strange to you, just please know that I am not up here making this stuff up. And there are not notes that I'm reading, and none of this was planned beforehand. It's just that, you know, we believe that God still speaks. We believe that God speaks through his word. We believe that God speaks through his spirit. And we believe in the prophetic because it's in scripture. And if it's in scripture, that's what we do. I can assure you I am not that smart. So we're just being obedient to what God is saying. But you need his word. You don't need mine. Isn't that awesome? All right, let's jump into scripture this morning. I promise I will move quickly within the time that I have left today. Father, I thank you that your word is life, and I thank you that you're not a silent God, but you're still speaking. You speak through the word, you speak through the spirit. And today I pray that as we look into the word, that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts prepared to receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' awesome name, somebody say, amen. God is good. All right, we're going to jump into a little bit of scripture today, and what I'm actually doing today is I'm going to be setting up the series for the next few weeks. You know, all my graphic people in here are saying, but you didn't tell me we were doing a series, and that's okay because I didn't know I was doing a series until like Thursday. So when God decides to do something, it's just time to do something, right? So you'll forgive me that I don't have all the matching graphics. You're going to forgive me that I don't have a slick production. But we're just going to let the word be the word. Is that okay? See, as I was praying this week, I believed that I was saying, God, you know, we're coming into summer. And how many of you know summer's great? Isn't summer awesome? Man, summer is a great time. I'm one of those parents that I like my kids to be out for summer. I like it when they're out. I don't like going to school. Right? I especially don't like going to school when football starts at 6 a.m. Why? Why are we doing that? That's punishing me. I'm not playing football. Right? But so, it's this early, I don't like this. But, you know, as we come into summer, you know, we have a tendency, what we do in summer is we have this tendency to just kind of let things fall off. Don't we? And for a lot of things, that's a really good thing to do. How many of you know it's good to take vacation in the summer? Right, even today, we have a lot of families that are out because they're on vacation. I am a pastor who believes you need to go on vacation, even if you miss a Sunday. Because it's good. It's good to make memories with our family. It's good to spend time. It's good to enjoy the goodness of life and the things that God has given us. I believe that life should be fun. Amen? And if you serve God, your life should be more fun than anybody else's. I like to laugh. I like to enjoy life and have a good time. You know, but I believe that as we're coming into summer, I believe that the Lord spoke to me. He says, what I want you to do, as you, particularly as we jump into the start of summer, is I want you to call people to a place of amping up. Not laying down, but amping up our spiritual walks. And that this year, it's a time to amp up our faith, amp up our spiritual walk, amp up the way that we go about growing spiritually, that God is leading us to a place where we're going to have to amp up. He just kept saying that word to me. And because of that, I only use the amplified version of the scripture. I never use the amplified version. If you ever come into my office, if it's not found in the New King James or the ESV, I'm not using it. But for some reason, I just felt like God wanted us to amp up a little bit. If you go ahead and talk about, for those of us who are not cool, amp up means to increase the power or force of something. That God is calling us to increase the power and the force of our spiritual walk heading into this next season. How many of you know that's a good thing? Yeah? So what we're going to be doing, this is what we're going to be doing. Let's look at Psalm 84, verses 4 through 7. And once again, this is going to be in the Amplified version. It says, blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied are those who dwell in your house and your presence. They will be singing your praises all day long. Selah, which means pause and calmly think of that. Isn't that funny? I think that's hilarious the way that's worded, by the way. Now let's calmly contemplate, shall we? And we're moving on. Okay. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied is the man whose strength, say strength, is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion, passing through the valley of weeping, or otherwise called Baca. Come on, not living in the valley of weeping. Not setting up our homes in the valley of weeping. But what are we doing? We're passing through. Come on, in life there's going to be seasons where you've got to pass through a little bit of weeping. But joy comes in the morning. Amen? Passing through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also fills the pools with blessing. They go from strength to strength, increasing in victorious power. Come on, amping it up. To increase force, to increase strength, to increase power. Each of them appears before God in Zion. God desires to take us to new levels of strength and victory in many areas of our life. And it's time for us to quit being lax about our spiritual growth. And it's time for us to begin to focus in because God has plans. Come on, God has plans. I'm going to tell you right now, God has bigger plans than you do. You think you've got plans, God has bigger and better. The Bible tells us you can't even think it up. You can't even dream it up what God plans to do. You don't have the mental capacity to match God's plans. God's got plans. That's good news, by the way. Amen? You say you may be stuck in a place of stagnation. Well, guess what? God's got a plan to get you out of it. You may be stuck in a place of hopelessness. Well, God's got a plan to get you out of it. You may be stuck in a place of brokenness and weakness, but God has a plan. You may be stuck in a place of indecision, but God has a plan. Come on. And it's time to amp up. It's time to start growing in strength. It's time for us to start seeing our spiritual walk grow a little bit. Amen? So that we can move to a different place of strength. Moving from strength to strength, not brokenness to brokenness. Not weakness to weakness. They go from what? Strength, say it with me, strength to strength. And this is what God is calling us to do. So today I'm just going to set the table. And over the next few weeks, we're going to break down these four areas that I'm about to just quickly touch on in the few minutes that I have this morning. See, there is a blueprint for developing spiritual growth and strength that we can find in Scripture. And I'm just going to give you a few key words with a few scriptures this morning. We're going to pray and we're going to move on. Then I want you to start getting an expectation for next week. Amen? Come on, are you there? Are you awake? Bill's awake. Everybody get waking up like Bill. Coffee. Bill has coffee. There you go. Coffee room's right there. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We're going to read this out of the Amplified again. Therefore, then, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance or unnecessary weight and that sin which so readily and deftly and cleverly clings to and entangles us. And let us run with patient endurance, say patient endurance, and steady and active persistence to the appointed course of the race that is set before us, looking away from all that will distract to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith, giving the first incentive for our belief. And it is also its finisher, bringing it to the maturity and perfection. He, for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. See, this passage of Scripture is a passage about commitment. It's a passage about endurance. It's a passion about. It's a passage about finishing what God has called you to start. About going through and running your race, and that there. How many of you know to run a race, strength is required? You don't sound convinced, right? How many of you have ever had to run a race before? Maybe you've got to go way back to elementary school, but you have to run a race. Strength is required, is it not? How many of you have ever had to play any sport in your life? Strength is required, is it not? And so what we find ourselves in, but how many of you know, you can grow in strength. No matter how weak you are now, you can grow in strength. You know, I look back, I see, you know, Patrick back there. I get to work out with Patrick most days, you know? Patrick can tell you that sometimes it takes a little focus to grow in strength, doesn't it? But we can show up weaker one day, but we can do the right things and we can be stronger the next. Amen? You guys know, I've told this story many times. I'm not gonna dwell on it. But for a few years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, I found myself in a position of brokenness. My body was broken. My knee was broken. My back was broken down. I was in a deep depression. How many of you know being physically down can put you in depression? Right? And I kept begging God. I said, God, how in the world am I can't do this anymore. I can't have Robbie come peel me out of my seat in my office to prop me up in front of a church to preach. How am I going to get through this? And what he said was, what you're going to do is you're going to get up and you're going to go get stronger. What does that mean? It means you're going to go to the gym, James, and you're going to get your lazy butt in shape. I'm still round. It's still a shape. But you're going to go get stronger. You're going to go from a place of brokenness to a place of strength by allowing yourself to undergo the process of strengthening. Amen? But you got to start broken. Listen, if you're broken today, it's not a bad thing. All it is an opportunity for God to bring you to a place and a process of strengthening. And many of us, we've been walking around and we've been walking broken for too long, and God is saying it's time to move to a place of strength. Because we don't go from brokenness to brokenness, we go from strength to strength to strength to new strength. Come on. Anybody excited about that today? Anybody tired of being broke down? Anybody tired of being tired? Anybody just tired of being exhausted? Here you go. I know. We feel like that right now, don't we? I don't know if you can tell. I'm actually really exhausted. No, I'll be vulnerable, Pastor. I have hit a season of my life where I am tired. I'm tired. You know how hard it is to have to uphold things all the time? To keep all those plates spinning? Knowing at some point you're going to drop one and disappoint somebody? I feel like there's days I wake up and I feel like I have disappointed more people in ministry than I have helped. Now that's a lie. I know it's a lie. And you know when the enemy comes and accuses you, you know it's a lie too. But it doesn't mean you're not tired. Come on, right? By the way, this is why vacations are good. You got to recharge. You've got to recharge. Amen. So I want to lay it down just a little bit today, what the process of strengthening looks like. And we're going to talk about it over the next few weeks. Are you okay this morning? Say amen. Hallelujah. Real quick, I'm going to go through this. Parker, are you ready? Man, I tell you what, we got a bunch of young people that serve and help around here. Parker Jones up there running that computer for me. So if it messes up, it's not my fault. It's Parker's fault. See what I did there? You thought I was praising you, but now you're on the spot. There you go. No, come on. Can we give thanks to our young people? We got a lot of young people that serve and they give. And Pastor Vinny told, what did you tell me the other night? That the last few weeks you've been averaging 51, 52 students coming in on Wednesday. Isn't that awesome? Come on, let's give the Lord thanks for that. God is good. Amen. Let the young people work. Let the young people serve. Let the young people have a voice. And us old people, listen. Amen? How many of us old people have been guilty of trying to shut them down too soon? Yeah? Let's listen to what they have to say. All right, strength comes to, first and number one. I'm going to move through these quickly. We're going to close, and we're going to get on this next week. Strength comes to number one, the committed. Say committed. How many of you know we live in a world where commitment is, we play fast and loose with the rules of commitment, right? How many of you know oftentimes we're committed to things and we're committed to the wrong things? I mean, I taught that just a few weeks ago. We were talking about, you know, how we technologically, we get ourselves connected to the wrong things. But committed, being committed is a feeling of dedication and loyalty to a cause, activity, or job. Wholeheartedly dedicated. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you can say you were wholeheartedly dedicated to a cause where you went all in? You know, we live in a culture now where we don't have a whole lot of all-in mentality. Right? We don't want to commit ourselves too soon. We don't want to commit ourselves to think, come on. Amen? We live in a society where we're always looking for the escape route. We have to become an all. If you want to grow in strength in anything, you will only strengthen to the degree you are willing to commit. Let me bring up the tried and true gym mentality. You're not going to get stronger showing up once every 2 weeks and then hitting Whataburger afterward. Isn't Whataburger wonderful? Like, isn't it like fantastic? I know some people don't like it, but y'all, Whataburger. Anyway, you can tell I haven't had Whataburger in a while because I'm committed. I'm committed. But you only strengthen in so much as you're willing to commit. If you're not willing to commit to a thing will not be strong. Amen? You know, my wife and I went through, let me read the scriptures and I'll maybe say that. Committed. Psalm chapter 37, verse 5, it says this, commit your ways to the Lord. Rule and repose each care of your load on him. Trust, lean on, rely on, and be confident also in him, and he will bring it to pass. You've got to commit to his ways. You've got to commit to his purpose. You've got to commit to his process in your life. Maybe you know God has a process of doing things. We serve a God of process. Or if we were in England, we'd say process. They actually laugh at me. Every time I'm in England and I say the word process, they always look at me like, silly colonial. That's what they say. But it's process. God does everything by process. Right? You've heard me say this before. How many of you know our universe is working because God set a process in motion? The sun came up today, did it not? And it will go down tonight. And tomorrow it will follow that same process. Right? When God does things, he does things through process, right? How many of you know that when a mother gives birth, there's a process that happens? All of nature works through process. And so God is a God of order. God is a God. He's not a God of chaos. He's not a God. He's not an author of chaos. He is an author of order. And that God desires us to enter into a process of strengthening, but we will only strengthen in it so much as we are willing to commit. I remember when me and my wife, quite a few years ago, when we were just transitioning into this position of being a lead pastor, we found ourselves in a position where we were really doubting our qualities, our abilities, our qualification to lead and to do anything. We're the types, we tend to suffer silently. We don't say a whole lot until many years later, and then I blab about it and she yells at me later about what I've said. But there's something to vulnerability, but there's not always something to vulnerability in the moment. Is that okay? So we found ourselves, we were really doubting what we wanted to do, and we was like, we can't do this. And so what we found ourselves doing is you start inventing your exits. You start inventing your escape plans. And then at some point, you have to make a decision. Am I going to commit to the path of the Lord, or am I not? Am I going to do what God called me to do, or am I not? And what we did is we decided, through much counsel, through much the Lord speaking through many different people, through many different countries, through many different places, we came to a position where we had to say, this is where God has called us, and this is where we will die. Now, that might sound drastic to you, right? But somebody, look, you gotta choose a hill to die on. Amen? You gotta choose a place where you will say, this is where I will make my stand. And I commit myself to this stand. Amen? See, in Timothy reached out to Paul, and he said, we can go read it. I don't have the scripture because I'm going off the top of my head right now. But in 2 Timothy, Timothy reaches out to Paul, and Timothy, he was the chosen one. He was the golden boy. He was handpicked by Paul to lead the church of Ephesus. And the moment he stepped into that position, the church of Ephesus began to undergo a split. Not only that, Nero began to ramp up. And he began to persecute Christians, and he began to kill Christians, and people were leaving the church because they were afraid of being killed. And he writes to Paul, and he says, Paul, what's going on? I thought I was the golden boy. I thought I was Timothy. I'm Timothy. I mean, there's books with my name on it. There weren't yet, but they were about to be. And then Paul responds from prison to Timothy. And he writes them this letter, and it's as you would expect Paul, it was not very, oh, there, Timothy. Oh, poor Timothy. Let me just love on you for a bit. There was none of that. Paul spoke to the man like the man needed to be spoken to. And he spoke to something on the inside of Timothy. And he said, Timothy, preach the word. Timothy, do your job. Timothy, step behind that pulpit and declare the goodness of God. Quit looking for a way out and step and commit to what God has called you to do. At some point, we have to make a decision that we're going to commit to what God is asking us to do. And if you want to grow spiritually, you've got to commit not to just what you think you need to do. You need to commit to God's ways and to God's process. Amen? I'm going to tell you something right now. It'll take a little time, but it's worth it. Somebody say amen. Amen. I need to move on real quick so I can get through here. The second one is focused. You got to be focused. Focus is a big thing. Colossians 3:2 says this, and set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on earth. See, focus is a powerful thing. Proper focus will keep you centered and on course regardless of intervening influences. Proper focus, without it, you won't reach your desired destination. See, staying focused during a crisis, however, how many of you know that's easier said than done? Amen? In fact, staying focused to persevere through difficult circumstances is one of the hardest things you will ever do, and especially when you've been caught off guard or hit with a flurry of unexpected blows. Staying focused. Like, oh, come on, we want to talk about attention span issues. Welcome to our generation and our culture. Right? I say this all the time. We live in Twitterverse. If it can't be said in under 140 characters, we're not going to listen to it. How many of you get a text and the text is really long? And you read the first two lines and go, what is going on here? You can't expect me to read all of this. Funny story. You ever try to read a letter from the 1800s? You know why you have it? Because you're like, this is long. I can't believe somebody sat down and wrote all this. They could have just said, ding, thumbs up. That's how I answer all my texts. Ding. Or unless it's a really funny gift, then I have to send that because that speaks everything, you know, right? But, you know, listen, we live in a world where our attention span have gotten shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Full disclosure, I woke up this morning. I was still laying in bed. It was very early. I began to pray. And the next thing I know, I was dreaming. I fell asleep. Pastor Dunn lost focus. That's why it's good to get out of bed to pray. Lord, I'm just really excited for... Don't act like you've never done that. Focus is a tremendous thing. Whatever you focus on will become the biggest thing in your world. Are you focusing on the right things? Are you focusing your path toward the right things? Are you focusing on the things that God has called you to? Amen? Proverbs 4:25 says this, "Let your eyes look right on with fixed purpose, and let your gaze be straight before you." Guys, you cannot focus on everything. You have to focus on the things that God has called you to. Amen? And let everything else be a distraction. You will only strengthen in as much as you focus. Amen? Next one, I'm going to move quickly because I'm running out of time. Number three, be intentional. Be intentional. Very few things happen by accident. Very few profitable things happen by accident. Most things that are worth doing and worthy to be called to take intentionality. It means being deliberate. How deliberate are we being in our walk with Jesus? How deliberate are we being in building the things that he's called us to? How deliberate are we being in making certain and being intentional about meeting with him, talking with him, praying with him? Amen? Ephesians 5:15 through 17 says this, "Therefore, see that you walk carefully." Come on. See that? Carefully. How many of you know walking carefully takes intentionality? Right? "Living a life with honor and purpose and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as the wise or sensible and intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time." How many of you know time management takes intentionality? You only have so much time on this earth. Each one of us have been allotted a certain amount of time by Father as he sees fit. And we only have so much time. And I don't know about you, but when I get to the end of my days, I want to be able to go from this life to the next and be able to communicate something like this. I have run my race. I have crossed the finish line. I have done what God has called me to do. I don't want to be somebody at the end of my days that on my deathbed is saying, "I wasted time. I wasted so much time. I wasn't intentional enough." Amen? Intentionality matters. Making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. Philippians 3:14, in this very famous passage of Scripture, "I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of Christ in Jesus." How many of you know, you, in order to press on, you have to be intentional about pressing on? You got to put one foot in front of the other and make a decision. Today, I will do this. Amen? Intentionality matters. This is how we grow. And last one, and we're going to be talking over these things. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be breaking all of these different areas down, and we'll talk about it. And next one, consistent. How many of you know consistency is a thing that we don't value enough in this world. Those who are willing to keep showing up. Amen? Man, we got too many people that only show up when it's convenient. That only show up when things are working good or work out. Come on. Are we being consistent? You know, my wife's not here today, and she told me to tell you hello, but I'll tell you one thing. The one thing I love about that woman more than anything is she is consistent. And she values consistency. Amen? In her mind, you are what you do consistently. How many of you know that's probably true? You are what you do consistently. And she, you know, and she's one of those people, she's like, don't tell me, show me. Be consistent to the call. Guys, you know, the truth of the matter is we're going to have good days and we're going to have bad days. Right? There's a very very spiritual man I'm about to quote. His name's Jerry West. You guys ever heard of him? Not really a spiritual man at all. He's literally the NBA logo. Right? He was an NBA player. He ran the Lakers for a long time. I think he runs the Clippers now. Right? And he says this, you can't get much done if you only show up to work on days when you feel good. Come on. There's something to be said about showing up every single day, answering the bell. Galatians 6:9 says this. It says, and let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and at the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. I like how the King James says it, if we faint not. It gets all Yoda, right? If we faint not. There's something to be said. You know, I've said this before. I asked Pastor Greg, how did you continue, the pastor that was here before me for 25 years, how did you continue in a small community? Because Decatur, when he started, was nowhere near the size it is now. I said, how did you manage? He said, I just kept showing up and I outlived my enemies. Isn't that awesome? There's something to be said for just showing up. Are you being consistent to the things that God has called you to? Do you keep showing up to your family? Do you keep showing up to your church? Do you keep showing up to your workplace? Do you keep showing up to the things that God has appointed you to? Do you keep showing up to the relationships that God has appointed you to? Do you keep showing up to be discipled? Do you keep showing up to grow? We have to be consistent with what God is doing. Michelle, would you come? I'm going to go ahead and close this. I'm late. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 says, I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firmly held the faith. You can only pray that prayer as Paul did, or say those words as Paul did, if you were consistent to the purpose that God called you to. Amen? Are we showing up? If we do these four things, we will be stronger. See, I keep showing up at the gym hoping to get stronger, right? But you don't have a prayer if you don't show up, right? Guys, the reason we have church is so we can keep showing up and get stronger. So we can strengthen and encourage one another. Amen? God, it's not about putting on slick programs. It's not about having the flashiest and the fanciest of presentation and production. It's not about even being, I've begun to hate the word relevant. You know? Because what's relevant? Is relevant how we dress, how we talk? Is relevant how we present ourselves? Is relevant in the picture show, in the slideshow? Or is relevance in the fact that we have the answers that people need? See, when I'm sick, you know what's relevant to me? A doctor, and I don't care if he wears skinny jeans. I'd prefer he didn't. Come on. You know what's relevant to me when my car is broken down? A good mechanic. You know what's relevant to me when I need an answer? somebody with the answer. And I don't care what package they come in. I hate that word relevant because we've twisted it. And what we've really turned it into is saying what's cool, what's acceptable culturally, what flows with what my preference is. Relevance is being broken and coming to the place of healing. Amen? Let's stand. It's about getting stronger.